This is the Lifting Standards Podcast with your host, Dalton Nicholas, a fitness professional with a new age view on the health and fitness lifestyle. Enjoy.
And welcome back. I am your host, Dalton Nicholas. Thank you for tuning in again. Once again, I would like to thank you all for continuously supporting this adventure that I'm doing. I know I say it all the time, but honestly, you guys are what pushed me forward with this, and I would just like to publicly say thank you for everyone who reaches out and has some input on the podcast itself, and anybody who listens consistently. I'd like to say I appreciate it very much, and let's talk about today's subject matter. Okay, so we are going to be talking about some basic supplementation. I held a poll on my Instagram at Lifting Standards Training, and this is what the vote came out to. So this episode, I'm going to be talking about some basic supplementation. If you haven't heard, the last two episodes have kind of been rants. So the two episodes ago, I talked about the issues with keto, and then the last episode, I talked about the issues of CrossFit with my good friend, Coach Lafume, or Chris Lafume. And those are two banger episodes. Like, you should go listen to those first for sure. But I bring those up now just because I kind of stepped a little bit away from the real reason about doing the podcast, which is helping you guys. Obviously, those two subjects could help you if they pertain to you, like if you're interested in doing keto or if you were interested in doing CrossFit. It gave you some answers about those things. But this is pretty much a broad subject matter to where I could talk about it to literally anyone and it will pertain to them most likely. So today we're going to be talking about some basic supplementation, which is going to include five supplements that I think are like the most basic stacks for anyone, five supplements specifically. There's a couple of them that you could go either way with, so there's a couple more than just five, but for the most part, it's just going to be like the five supplements that you would have in like the most basic stack and a little bit about each one. Secondly, I'm going to talk about energy supplements and pre-workouts, because that's like a big thing to people. Everybody wants to try pre-workout and everything like that. So I'm going to show you what you'd want to get out of those, where you should even start, a bunch of things about pre-workouts and energy supplements overall. And I'm also going to talk about some places to buy supplements. There's online stores, in-person stores, a couple other things that I wanted to touch on there. So that is the agenda. So let's just hop right into it. We're going to talk about five supplements that I think are the most basic setup for anyone. It'll help everybody who's doing something with fitness or just an overall healthy lifestyle. So number one, I'm pretty sure like everybody would think this would be on the list. It is a multivitamin. So everybody, it's going to be a multivitamin or a greens blend. The reason why I say multivitamin or greens blend is because multivitamin is going to be a little bit of a cheaper and more convenient option, and a greens blend is going to be a little bit more high quality and a little bit more bioavailable to the body. So if you're looking for the best product, I would definitely say like a good quality greens blend is going to be where you should go. But for myself and many others out there who are really worried about the convenience of it, it's going to be a multivitamin. So here, excuse me, it's going to be any product that you see, like the GNC has their own brand. The one I personally like is the Gym Vitamin, but there's so many out there. So I'm going to tell you where not to look. You're not going to want to go to a Walmart and just pick up one off the shelf. You're going to think that you're saving money, but honestly, if you just walk into a GNC or if you go on Amazon and look at the Optimum Nutrition multivitamin, it's going to be a lot better quality. You're going to get more of like a clinical dose out of each vitamin. And these people are really worried about their brand name, so they're going to put out a good product. The Equate or whatever the store brand multivitamin is that you would get if you went to a Walmart is not really a high quality supplement. It's not going to have all the right dosages, and it's I'm not going to say a waste of time, but like you get what you pay for when you go to any sort of like generic brand supplement, to say, or any product for that matter. I mean, I'm a big Like, I don't really care too much about brands, but if we're looking specifically for health reasonings, like, I don't care if you get, like, the off-brand Oreos, but if you're going to spend money and try to invest in your own health, like a multivitamin at Amazon or GNC, you're going to spend, like, $15 to $20. Like, you spend more of that going out to eat. So let's just splurge, if you will, and let's get the right brand for a multivitamin. So I said greens blend as well. So the multivitamin is $15 to $20. A quality greens blend is going to be a little bit more expensive, but honestly, it's worth it. You're going to get more. You're going to absorb more of it, and you're also going to be able to get a lot more micronutrients than you would with just a multivitamin. So a multivitamin is just going to hit like A vitamins, B vitamins, C vitamins, and a bunch of other minerals. A greens blend is going to be giving you things like spirulina, a lot of alfalfa. Like, you'll find a bunch of other things that you would find in a lot of dark greeny vegetables, a dark green vegetables that you personally, I don't get a lot of or any for that matter. So that's why this is such a big thing for people. Nobody's really eating all the things that they need throughout the day, including myself. So you really should be looking at a greens blend. I know no one should be preaching to you that it's going to taste good. It's going to taste absolutely horrible, and you should just own it. I mean, if you're over 21 or if you've ever experienced drinking a shot of alcohol, you should be able to handle drinking a shot of grass. Okay. So like, it's the same thing. You have a goal in mind, like you're really focused on it. You should be able to handle a 5-second shot of disgusting green garbage, okay? So I don't want to oversell it to you. It's going to suck. But you get all of your greens in the day in like 5 seconds. Obviously, you should still try to eat some greens throughout the day, but if you're getting a greens blend in throughout the day, maybe twice even, if you're not having any vegetables at all like me, then you're going to be pretty well off. Next, I'm going to talk about fish oil. Huge, 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 huge in anybody's lifestyle, not just lifters, not just anybody. Everyone should be taking a fish oil. They're not that expensive. And the quality that you would get, like I said, from a good like supplement brand as opposed to just a Walmart brand or a big whatever, CVS, whatever you want to call, like a generic store brand, you would get so much more out of it if you just spent five extra dollars on a real supplement company's fish oil. So the things that you should be looking for in the fish oil is going to be the EPA and DHA, and you want it to equal about 1,000 milligrams per serving at least. So with this, it's going to get a little bit more interesting, and you can do your own research, but if you're looking at it for like heart health and just overall normal generic lifestyle health, you should be getting at least like 2,000 milligrams a day. But if you're looking for like more of an anti-inflammatory or a joint support, you should be probably around the 6,000 milligrams or 6 grams a day. That's really where you're going to be gaining a lot of the anti-inflammatory and joint support qualities that fish oil will have for you. Also, it's going to be around like $25-ish. Like, it's not, and these are month supplies. I'm just rattling off some numbers, but it's not going to be breaking the bank for you for sure. So these two are pretty low cost, high effective supplements. So that's why I kind of brought those up first. They're going to be at the top of the list for sure. Next, I'm going to speak on post-workout protein and the different kinds that you have out there. So let's strap in for this one, because honestly, like, no one that I talk to has enough information about protein. So this is going to be a big part of the podcast and what I really want to get out there to the public, because no one really gets, there's not like a documentary or a video at the store where you're buying these proteins, or if you're sitting at home, the proteins that you're getting, you can have a great idea just off of these three right here. So whey concentrate is going to be the best cost per serving out there. With that being said, you're going to have a little bit lower of a quality in this protein. So whey protein concentrate is going to be at a maximum 75% protein. So what that means is out of 100 grams of powder, 75 of it would be protein. And that's pretty good. So like most companies, if they were using this, it would be great. But that's the highest. So the lowest part of this would be 35%. In the same scenario, 100 grams of powder, you'd only be getting 35 grams of protein. So the issues with this protein is that you're going to be getting a lot more like lactose and a lot more like other products in there as fillers. So if you are a lactose intolerant person, my next protein that I bring up will be better for you. But if you're really looking to maximize your supplements within your budget, this is going to be for you. And it's good for post-workout meal replacements. It's pretty much used overall, like overall general protein that you can use. And that's all I have to say about it. Like, it's not bad. I don't want to make it sound like it's bad because there's different types of concentrate that you can get. So like I said, the whey protein concentrate could be a 75% concentrate. That's a great concentrate. And for that, I would use that. But a lot of these other shaky industry companies that are really just out there to make a buck and have had issues with like amino spiking in the past. That's a long story. I'm not going to get into it too much, but basically they were putting like a lot more amino acids and maybe even creatine into their protein and advertising that. And you're not actually getting the 25 grams of protein that they say on the side of it because none of this stuff is really FDA approved. So a lot of scams have happened in the supplement industry, and this kind of pushes people away. But if you do your own research, you'll be able to find like good reputable brands that have other companies do tests on their products to prove that they have what they have, what they say are in there. So back to the point about the whey concentrate, you really hopefully you'd have a company tell you what kind. So I know Nutribio is a really amazing company, and they even on their whey concentrate, they tell you what type of concentrate it is. So whether it's a 65, 55, 75%, they go that deep in their nutritional panel. So that is absolutely amazing. And I hope more companies, it seems like more companies are going that route, but just for now, I believe like Nutribio, even Jim kind of, I don't know if he even goes that deep into telling you what kind of concentrate, but he goes pretty deep in the nutritional panel. And then there's like some very open label companies coming up too. That's kind of the trend that I'm seeing. But just for now, you should really be on the lookout for what kind of concentrate you're getting. And if it doesn't tell you on the package, you could do your own research before you buy it, because you really need to know how much protein you're actually getting if you're going out and spending the money on the protein powder. Next on the protein powder list is a whey isolate. So I talked about the 75% concentrate. So the whey isolate is a cleaner protein, mainly used for a post-workout shake because it's going to be absorbed a little bit quicker because it is 90% protein. Same scenario, 100 grams of powder, you're getting 90 grams of protein. That's crazy. Okay, this is like the cleanest. You could even go into like the hydrolyzed protein where it's basically just a little bit more digested, is basically, so it's even quicker for the absorption and the bioavailability. But you really don't need all that information to just know that any isolate on the market is at 90% and you're going to be getting less lactose and less fillers and things like that. So honestly, this is the best post-workout protein. That being said, it is a higher quality, so the price is going to be a little bit more. So if you're budgeting, you could just get the concentrate and you'll be fine. But if you're like super, super focused on your goals and you want the best stuff out there, isolate is what you're going to want for your post-workouts. And if you're doing any baking or anything, you're going to be looking at the whey concentrate for sure. Now, the third protein I'm going to bring up is going to be a blended protein. So most companies on the market, I will say, if they're talking about a blended protein, they're kind of trying to save money as opposed to just throwing one type of protein out there. Some of them are honestly trying to give you like a time-released protein, more for recovery. But honestly, if it's not like one or two brands who really like push the time release thing or talk about recovery in their product, they're probably just trying to save money and putting a little bit of isolate in there, putting mostly concentrate or mostly casein protein, and just trying to skim a little bit of a dollar out of it. So the big thing with the blended proteins, it's amazing for baking, first of all. If it's a nice quality blended protein with a good amount of casein in it, it's going to be great for baking. all the protein snacks that you like to have, things like that. That's where you're going to want to do most of that. Although me bringing that up reminds me of casein protein. So casein protein is a really slow digesting protein. So most of the time you would have this at night before bed to try to have like a 12-hour window where you're still digesting some protein in there. Excuse me. So those are the four types. I think I might have even said three types at the beginning, but those are the four types of protein that you could have. I believe I only put three at the beginning because, honestly, this is a basic stack. You're not going to want to go out and spend the money on a casein protein if you're trying to just have like five supplements that you will have like every month. The casein's a good, nice addition, but I'm trying to keep the stack pretty basic. So for the sake of argument, a multivitamin, a fish oil with at least 1,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA combined. And then you could honestly just go with a whey concentrate protein. And that right there, you're probably sitting at like $60, $50 tops, or $50 to $60 tops. And you're sitting pretty good for three products a month. And you still have room for two more to stay under that like $100 mark, which would be honestly incredible to have a month supply of supplements. And let's jump right into number four. BCAAs. So these are, so I would say the top three are pretty basic necessities. And then what I'm getting into now is a little bit like specialized or a little extra, if you will. So BCAAs, branched chain amino acids, basically they're the, basically protein that is broken down into the amino acid form, and people are drinking these throughout the day to save the gains, if you would. And basically, it's to help people who have a hard time hanging on to their muscle, basically helping with muscle retention, helping so you don't go catabolic. And honestly, you can take it in the middle of your workouts too, and that helps out a lot with recovery. The only issue I have with this is there's a lot of fake or I can't say fake, a lot of low-dosed BCAAs out there that aren't really doing much for you. So when you're looking at the BCAA, you want to make sure it's a 2-1-1 ratio from two leucine, one isoleucine, and one valine. That is like the proven formula for amino acids. And there's a bunch of companies doing different things, and yeah, like you got to take some risk and things like that for change or progression in the supplement industry. But right now it's 2-1-1 for sure. And you're looking, you'd really want like 5 grams of leucine to 2.5 isoleucine and valine. That's going to be like your best high quality BCAA. And it's not that hard to find, honestly. Or anything over that will be fine too, as long as it's the 2-1-1. But anything under that is kind of just like, depending on the company, it's really not doing too great for you. It's not going to do too much. You really want to be like 5 grams of leucine at least or over. And the 2-1-1 ratio for sure. That'll be your best bet. A couple of brands that I like are Extend. I know Jim Stepani has a post-workout active, and I believe that has the same 2-1-1 ratio with the three that I listed before. And then maybe even what is the name, they have BPI Sport, I believe they also have it. Don't quote me on that because I'm not 100% sure, but I believe I've always liked most of their products. So that is that for the BCAAs. And let's go down to, so this is where it's going to take a fork in the road. I'm going to talk about whether or not you're trying to lose weight, because this is where you would, I mean, after those first four, it would be pretty like individualized for the supplements that you would need. So if you're losing weight, I would go for a meal replacement shake. Just makes it a little easier than just using your pre-workout or post-workout protein with everything, because you're going to have to add some things in there for carbs and fats. But meal replacement, you want to look for price per meal, because obviously that'll judge whether or not you would want to pick it up or not. If it's too expensive price per meal, then it's not going to be worth it for you in the long run, especially if you're meal prepping and things like that, because that'll take a lot of a lot of money to do. Food is not free, unfortunately. And you'd want to check on the calories. So if it's a meal replacement shake and you're 220 pounds and it's only going to give you 150 calories, don't waste your money. Like 150 calories for a meal? Come on now. You know better than that. There's no way that's a meal for you at that weight. It could be a snack if you want to look at it that way, but you definitely are going to want like a, if you can find a meal replacement shake that's like more, if you can't find like a weight loss meal replacement shake, don't worry if it doesn't say weight loss on the package. You can get like a gainer shake and only use a quarter of the serving, and that'll turn into like your bodybuilding meal replacement, sitting around probably like 300 to 500 calories. Yeah, 300 to 500 calories if that's what you're looking to do. If you're looking to lose weight and you're just looking for something to actually replace a meal and not just be a quick protein snack. Also, you're going to probably want a 1-to-1 ratio on the protein and carbs in a meal replacement shake as opposed to like a post-workout protein. You're going to want like mostly protein and very low carb and fat. So in the meal replacement, you probably want a 1-to-1 with the protein and carb and then like a half on the fats, depending on how big of a shake it would be. Anywhere from like 25 to 35 protein, 25 to 35 carbs, and then whatever that would be, 12 and a half, 17 fat around there. Math was not my major in school, clearly, but that's where you would be looking to have the macros for your meal replacement shake if you're looking to lose weight. And I mean, honestly, I'm not saying meal replacement shakes are just for people losing weight. You could obviously just go out and buy a mass gainer, but that's not what I was going to talk about next for weight gain. What I was going to talk about next for weight gain is creatine monohydrate. So let me just nip that in the butt real quick. Both of these products could be used for either or. It's not like creatine monohydrate is going to make you absolutely jacked out of your mind and you're going to gain a bunch of weight. And it's not like meal replacement shakes are going to suck you dry of every fat every cell of fat that you have on your body. They're both just tools. Everything on here is a tool. No supplement is going to make or break your diet or lifestyle change, whatever you are doing. None of these are going to make or break them. They are simply just tools to use. So the reason why I love suggesting supplements or things like that, not because I think that, not that you're dependent on them or not that they're going to be the miracle pill that you think that you could get or should be able to get at this point in time. They're going to be tools that you can use. And once you put a monetary value on what you've invested into your own health, oh my God, the game changes. Because if you go out there and you spend $300, $200, even $100, doesn't matter. If you put any sort of monetary value on your health, you instantly care for it more, no matter who you are. That it's going to do so much for you mentally, not even just like all these products are great for your health. It's going to do so much for you mentally and focus and drive on your adventure, whatever you're doing. It's going to do so much for you. It's literally like priceless. So that's why I'm bringing up like a basic supplementation program, just because I think it'll help you so much mentally. And obviously, I think all of these tools, supplements, are going to do good things for your body and health. But that is why I brought all of these up. And that's why when I get down to these last two, it's really individualized. And I don't want people to think, that one or the other is going to send you in a specific direction only. You can use both. I bring up creatine monohydrate for gainers because you're probably already getting enough food if you're seriously trying to gain weight. So this is just another tool that'll help boost your program to the next level. So creatine monohydrate, you're going to want to go through. There's a bunch of myths about this. This is such a safe product. There's so much research out on it. It's honestly like laughable to me the amount of bad rep it gets out in like society. Because if people only know the truth about it, honestly, I think everybody would be on it. Like, the truth about creatine monohydrate is that it fuels your ATP energy source, which is basically what you're going to be using from like reps 2 to 5, really like powerful reps. And what that's going to do for you, you're going to get a little bit more energy in that situation from that 2 to 5. So if you have more energy in that 2 to 5 reps at the very beginning, not only are you going to be able to go up in weight, you're going to be able to go harder, longer in that time frame, those rep ranges. So like, if you've been loading creatine and if you've loaded creatine and you've been on it for a little bit longer, you'll notice a good amount of strength gain, but with that, you'll be able to increase your weights and reps and be able to get a little bit more size onto you. That's why I added it for the size. Protocol for it, everybody has a different situation. It depends on your weight and lean mass, what you would get recommended. But I will tell you that it's not a week-long loading phase anymore. Like, you don't need to go on 20 grams of creatine monohydrate for 7 full days. It's more like 10 grams for the first 2 days, and then you can bump it down to 5. And if you weigh less than me, I would probably adjust that a little bit. Like, everyone has their own, like, special formula that you would get, but it's not like it used to be. Let's just say that. There's no way that you need to be on an excessive amount of creatine monohydrate. Also, it's not something that I would recommend before a workout. It dehydrates you. So not only will you be in the bathroom a lot more if during your workout and losing intensity, but it dehydrates you. So it increases the chance of micro tearing your muscles, which is no bueno. Yes, you want to break down the muscles while you're working out, but you're not trying to tear them all. So those are my 5 to 7 supplements that I would recommend. So a multivitamin, a greens blend, if you're looking on the pricier side of things and a little bit better quality, a fish oil, 2,000 milligrams a day at least, and ideally probably like 6,000 milligrams if you're looking for like the anti-inflammatory and joint support aspects of the product, and a post-workout protein. If you're looking to save money, go with a nice branded, a good brand whey concentrate. And if you're looking for like a little bit more quality, you can just go for like a really nice whey isolate, only for post-workout though. I really don't recommend baking with it. It tastes awful with most things. Then I'm going to recommend a BCAA, branched chain amino acid. Usually a 2-1-1 ratio is what I would like you to get. At least 5 grams of leucine in that. And you could take it throughout the day if you're trying to gain weight and not lose any muscle mass, not go catabolic. And if you are looking to lose weight, you could use it in the middle of your workout, help with recovery. Maybe it gets you in there a little bit sooner. And being able to fuck up the gym again day in and day out while you're in a deficit. And the other two products that I brought up would be the meal replacement shakes and the creatine monohydrate. Let's get into the moment of glory, pre-workouts and energy supplements. Okay, so no, you do not need this. Like I said before, everything is just a tool, but let's identify the need if you think that you would need a energy supplement or pre-workout. Energy supplement, mainly talking about like an energy drink, or pre-workout canned drinks, things like that. And then a pre-workout, I'm talking about the powder stuff you would buy. Not that kind of powder. I'm talking about the powder stuff you'd buy at like a GNC, Amazon, anything that's marketed as a pre-workout. So, excuse me, the identity crisis that people think that you need to have a pre-workout is a reason why I wanted to bring this up. So like, there's no reason to have a pre-workout all the time. It's really like, it's a hard thing to say because there's a bunch of ingredients in there that, yes, will help with like your workouts and help push you farther in your workouts and things like that. But the idea that it's a necessity, just like every other supplement, is very false. And I just wanted to nip it like right at the beginning of it. Like I'm saying, you don't need it. You don't need any of this stuff. But I love using it. So that's the other issue here. It's kind of a self-conflicting error. So no, you don't always need it. Let me tell you when I think it's like most valuable is like if you've been working out for maybe let's say 3 months and you had like a lot of like the beginner like motivation, like you're really having a lot of progress, seeing a lot of like newbie gains or whatever you want to call it. You're seeing a lot of body composition changes, and then all of a sudden that stops, and then you kind of lose a little bit of your motivation in the gym, and like you're just losing energy. Like maybe some things picked up at work or something like that. Like this will help you for sure. As long as you're getting like specifically the amount that you need, like nothing too much, nothing too little. Like that's what I want to do here. I want to tell you what kind of pre-workout, not kind, I guess entry level, medium and high, or like a veteran level lifter would use. So let's get into it. So what should you be using? There's a lot of pre-workouts out there, and it's really hard to figure out which one you should buy or which one is good, which one's bad. And how are we going to do that? You got to really just look at the different ingredients that are in there. So I said before when I talked about creatine, I don't really like to see creatine in my pre-workouts just because it's going to cause those micro tears. But in most of them, in most pre-workouts, there's going to be creatine. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just they know what people are looking at when they're going to buy them. So let's just cut that out right here. I don't really want to see creatine in my pre-workout. But I do want to see, if I do see creatine, I want to see the correct dosages. So for a generic male, I believe it would be like 5 grams of creatine. There's a lot to go into that, but like 5 grams of creatine monohydrate and like 2 grams of creatine hydrochloride would be the staple of what I looked at a pre-workout if it has creatine in there. That was wrong of me to say the male version or woman's version. It's very much so based on body weight and not your gender by any means. Continuing, let's go into the key ingredients. Other than that, I'm looking for beta-alanine. So the clinical dose, so this is where I'm going to get into the beginner level, medium, or like elite pre-workout, whatever we want to call the highest level, or like the clinical dose is what you would want to look for if you're looking for like the highest quality protein. But if you're brand new and just getting into a pre-workout, you really don't need that much of each ingredient. Simply because it's brand new to you. You may lose out on some of the actual effects of it, but like just bringing up beta-alanine brought this to mind because it's a really good thing for muscle endurance, but also it affects you in a different way. You get the itchy feeling across your face and the back of the ears. And for someone who's never taken pre-workout, if they get 3.2 milligrams of beta-alanine, they get scared. Like it's not a fun thing, especially if they don't know that that's going to happen. So if you're brand new into pre-workouts, I would say like 1.5 to 2 grams of beta-alanine would be okay. And then a medium level one would probably be around 2.5. And then like the clinical dose is 3.2 milligrams. And that's like, you would not need anything more than that. Anything more than that is just a little excessive. But you would want to see that in the pre-workout for sure. Next thing is going to be a pump or vasodilator. It's going to be arginine for me personally. That's the one that my body reacts with best, but citrulline and citrulline malate are also very good vasodilators. So you're going to be looking for 4 to 6 grams. 6 grams of citrulline malate. You could get 4 grams of citrulline and 4 grams of arginine and you'll be fine. But like I said, if you're brand new to the game, those are clinical doses. If you're brand new to the pre-workout, you'll be probably sitting at like, I don't know, 2 grams of arginine and 2 grams of straight citrulline. And if you're looking at citrulline malate, you could get 3 grams. And the next is betaine anhydrous. It definitely helps with endurance. And there's also some research out there that shows that it helps with muscle building as well. But that's pretty much as in-depth as it gets when you go to research this ingredient. So that's why I kind of focused on the endurance part of it. Helps a lot at 6 grams, but like I said, it would be really good for you to get a nice clinically dosed pre-workout, but it's another thing. I'm going to get to the point where it makes sense on why I'm saying like the entry level and things like that. But it would make sense for you to get these all at clinical dosages. So betaine anhydrous, 2 milligrams to 6 milligrams, 2 milligrams if you're brand new into the pre-workout game, 4 if you're medium level, and 6 if you want a fully clinically dosed pre-workout. The next thing is kind of a special ingredient. It's not necessarily an all. I think it should be an all. It's called choline. It's a cognitive focus ingredient. I absolutely love choline. If I if I could just drink this instead of caffeine, I probably would, and if it had the same effect for as long and I didn't build up a tolerance. But choline is absolutely amazing. Most pre-workouts will put like 500 milligrams in there because it's probably expensive. And honestly, I don't see a lot more dosage. I don't see more than that in most pre-workouts, but 2 grams would be absolutely amazing, and you would feel like you're in the tunnel at the Rose Bowl. So next is caffeine, and this is why I keep saying the entry or mid or high level pre-workout, because if you're getting a clinically dosed pre-workout, it's usually going to have like a higher caffeine level. And if you're brand new to the pre-workout, you don't need that much caffeine. I mean, unless you've had coffee and other like energy drinks a lot, like your tolerance is going to be pretty low and you want to start with like a lower 150 milligram caffeine level pre-workout. But with that 150 milligram caffeine in a pre-workout, you're probably going to get a lot of underdosed ingredients from all the things I listed previously. It's really crappy because, like, if you could get all those other ingredients except for maybe beta-alanine fully dosed with, like, 150 and then, like, slowly progress your caffeine as your tolerance builds, that would be the ideal situation here. But it's not like that in the industry whatsoever. So if you want, like, a very clinically dosed and high-quality pre-workout, you're going to be looking at, like, 300 or 350 milligrams of caffeine, usually. And that is what I would be looking for my pre-workout. So most of the pre-workouts I use are going to have 3.2 milligrams of beta-alanine. They're going to have, I like to see arginine, but world's not perfect. So I usually would get something with like citrulline with 6 milligrams in it and then just have to take my arginine myself. It's okay to take both of them. They both work in different ways. It's not like it's not the same highway. Basically, I'm going to just use that as the metaphor. They don't work in the same path. They're both used differently by the body to get to the same destination, I will say. Betaine anhydrous, usually always going to have 6 milligrams of that in my pre-workout. And then choline, I unfortunately can't really find much around with more than, can't find many pre-workouts with more than like 1.5 milligrams. And all the ones I use are 350. I'm a caffeine addict, in case you didn't know that about me. I usually will have like a pre-workout. When I wake up in the morning for work around 8 a.m. or 7 to get there, I have to be there at 8 a.m. When I wake up in the morning, I'll have a Bang energy drink, which is the next topic here. So I'll have one of those, which has 300 to 350 milligrams of caffeine. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I'll have one of those before I go to work, and then I'll usually work out. And then if it's a really long day and I'm not getting home until like 11 o'clock, I might have a third Bang, which will be an extremely high amount of caffeine. And I don't recommend that for anybody really. But that's where we're at with my caffeine addiction. So that brought up the Bang energy drink. So, if you're brand new to the, if you're the entry level, I said brand new so many times. If you're brand new, I'll say it one more, you should get like a C4 explosive, I don't even know what they're calling it anymore, ready to go. Yeah, RTD. You should get like a C4 prepackaged one if you're looking for like a quick energy drink. That'll be a pretty low caffeine. But if you're getting into the more medium level, you could probably go to like, I think GNC sells like a lit in the can. Lit, I know. We lit. it's called Lit in a Can. It's around 250 milligrams of caffeine, and then Bang would probably be like the high level energy drink that I love very much, and those are like 350 milligrams of caffeine, I'm pretty sure. Those would be the three places where I would try those, and suggest you try them if you're at whatever level you're at. Finally, we get to talk about where you should purchase your supplements. Okay, so obviously you all see the ads online if they're watching your browsing history for products that you're interested in, or if you're just talking about. So like if you're talking about protein or whatever, That they're listening to you. No, I'm just kidding. But with the searches that you make and things like that, you'll see all these ads on Facebook or Instagram. And usually, most of the, I haven't seen like a really referable, ad on my Instagram or Facebook in a very long time. So I would highly recommend you to stay away from most of those companies, if not all of them. The places that I buy supplements online are is Amazon, for one, just amazing with their two-day shipping, so you can't really beat that. Bodybuilding.com is a little pricey, and Campus Protein, college students get on this. They're amazing. They have a bunch of stacks. Like, I can't even tell you how many stacks they have. They have so many, like, specifically focused stacks. They make getting all these supplements very easy for you, depending on your goal. It's pretty much in the title all the time. And I've gotten, they like have deals all the time. It's a very good place. I think there's another place I like to go to. It's like Fitness News Deals or something. They like search everywhere on the web for like the best deals of everything, like supplements, clothes, things like that. Gym equipment. They go everywhere. So they usually find pretty good deals. If you follow them on Facebook, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't been on their website in a while. But that place is awesome, too, if you're looking for, like, really good deals. And then in-store, it's pretty much up to you. So I live in a pretty small town, so we don't really have much. We have a GNC. But I know elsewhere in the world there are Vitamin Worlds, Vitamin Shop, I think. I haven't seen one in forever, either one of those. But I know there's those. There's, like, hometown supplement shops, things like that. So these places are all good. Honestly, you really want to know what you're going to buy when you go into one of these stores. Like, you don't really want to go in there off a whim or let them be your only source of information. And don't let me be your only source of information either. Do your own research. Like, take everything I say with a grain of salt. Like, I don't want you to live and die by my word. I want you to take the initiative and learn about all these supplements. And if you prove me wrong, hey, great job. Honestly, I really want people to think about their supplements and things like investment in their own health. And you wouldn't invest money in the stock market without researching the company, I hope. You wouldn't just go off of like what your buddy said. Like, you should look into each aspect of each product and figure it out for yourself. It's not going to take that much time, I promise. Honestly, YouTube, Google, there's so many sources out there. You could figure it out for sure, especially if you're just looking up like an ingredient or if you're just looking up a review of a product. And it's very easy to find out what you should be getting from the product. So with that being said, those are like the in-stores. So that's why I just wanted to bring that up, because there's a lot of salesy, like it's very salesy. It's very sale-driven business. So when you go in, you might leave with something that you don't necessarily need. And I worked at GNC, so I would know. The next thing I want to talk about is online reoccurring shipment. This would probably be best for someone who's extremely busy, has like a good amount of money in the bank, and is on a set regimen. You can set it so it's every month, every 2 months, depending on like if you're getting a bigger size bottle of everything. But that'll be a very easy way to make sure you're getting all your supplements on time, and then you'll never really have to worry about like going online and ordering or going to the store and getting it. Very useful. And it's very like new, I would like to say. It's not a very like old concept, but one of my friends told me that's what he does, Dakota Sprague. And that's like a super, like if you have the means to do that, that's super convenient, super easy, like very stress-free. So that's why I wanted to bring that up in this episode. Well, thank you all for being here. I really appreciate you all sitting through that episode with me, learning a little bit, I hoped, for sure. If there's any other questions you have on supplementation, feel free to message me through Lifting Standards on Facebook, Lifting Standards Training on Instagram. And if you see me in person, if you're in the area, feel free to ask me any questions. I'm on my Instagram and through the Facebook page. I am going to be putting up more polls and things like that for you to vote on what you'd like to see on the podcast. I hope this brought it back to the original purpose of helping you all. Like, this is a very broad topic that I think will hit a lot of people's, help a lot of people with their own journey. And then I would just also like to say thank you again. Honestly, this is super, super surreal to me. Like, having you guys listen in on the podcast, it's very, like, makes me feel very good. It makes me feel like I have a purpose with my my learning at school, and like that I'm in the right career. So I'd like to thank you all for that. I don't have a set plan for the next podcast. I kind of want to leave it up to you guys, but I can tell you that I do have two more guests planned out for the future, as well, at least. Like, those are two very soon coming episodes that I have planned out. And then also, you guys can vote on the next episode of just me talking about a certain subject. The one that lost to the Basic Supplementation podcast was Fitness Trends in 2019. I think that'll be really fun, so I might do that one pretty soon. But I'll let you guys be the judge. I hope you guys crush your week. It is Monday morning, and I know it's tough out there. So just make sure you do something for yourself today. Like, get out there, crush your workout. Like, do really good at work. Whatever you have planned for today, I just hope you give it 100%. And I will see you in the next episode. Later, guys. Peace.